Good morning, I am Yada. Welcome to Shattering Myths, where we expose the misconceptions associated with religion and politics, also with military and economic schemes. Instead of merely presenting the news this morning, I'm going to explain why these things have happened, what it means to you and me. Then during our second hour, we're going to do something rather extraordinary. We're actually going to engage God on His terms through His Torah, which means teaching, not law, and by way of His covenant, of which there is only one. If you're an atheist, an agnostic, or know that there's something not right with your religion, this will be the best part of each day's program. Our number, and we would encourage you to call to either question, criticize, affirm, or just engage in a conversation, it is 877-300-7645. As I was listening to the news this morning, was taken aback by the government's five official designations of skin color. You know, we've talked about this many times already on this program, that the moment you resort to making distinctions between people based upon skin color, you are lost. Race is not an appropriate means to make any meaningful distinctions. And yet the government wants to have official designations of skin color with a constitution that that does not allow such a thing. It is orthodox racism, and we ought not put up with it. The more you're exposed to government malfeasance, the more irritating it becomes. The option ought to be, yes, I have skin. Speaking of skin and malfeasance, the government is now, and there's a number of news stories on this, was also picked up in this morning news on the Genesis Network, that the United States is committing tens of millions of dollars to clean up Agent Orange in Vietnam. It is amazing that we have a government immoral enough to have saturated Vietnam with Agent Orange. It is amazing that we have a government immoral enough that after it has saturated Vietnam with Agent Orange, it showing no respect whatsoever for the Vietnamese. If you want to prove that you are the enemy of the people that you are allegedly fighting on behalf of, go and drop a few million pounds of Agent Orange and then follow it up with some napalm. But proving that our government is grotesquely immoral, after we dropped the Agent Orange, we had our own troops go through those areas, exposing themselves to the toxins. Now, as a result of these toxins, tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of children have suffered birth defects. All because our government thought it would be a swell idea to bombard Vietnam with Agent Orange. It is also astonishing to me that we form an agreement with the North Vietnamese after the war, where we agree on the fact that Vietnam is going to, South Vietnam will be separate and distinct, and the North Vietnamese will respect the borders the moment the ink was dry. They ignored the document and stormed into the South and killed anybody associated with America or had worked for the Americans. And now we're best buds. You can lie, cheat, and steal with the U.S. government. You can kill our troops. And we'll pretend it didn't happen. You know, we stayed in Vietnam for 10 years after we knew that we were there on a lie, after we knew that there was no way to win the war. We stayed there another 10 years just with the notion that if we retreated in defeat, then we would show no respect to the Americans we sent there to die. And so rather than hundreds and a few thousand Americans dying in Vietnam in vain, over 50,000 Americans died in Vietnam in vain. And now it is our decision that what we're going to do is to say to all of those who sacrificed in Vietnam, that forget it. You know, we don't care. The very enemy that was killing you, we are now going to aid and benefit as if you never made those sacrifices. Sunny to me. I have a different, lighter story in the news that I'd like to cover this morning. It's sent to me by a friend. It is from HLN. The headline reads, "Schools $60 million stadium, no bake sale required." The bullet points are $60 million, an 18,000-seat high school football stadium is ready to open. It was publicly financed by voter-approved bond package. And the player's comments were, "It definitely helps us in the process of kicking tail."
It's in Texas, isn't it?
Oh, of course it's in Texas. it's in Allen, Texas. It is just north of Dallas. The opening quote, though, summarizes it all. I have a son that is in graduate school in Texas, so I've gotten to know the state reasonably well. And a lot of wonderful people in Texas. I mean, Texas is a really extraordinary place. One of the things I happen to like about Texas is because there is no income tax in Texas, there is economic prosperity. It's one of the very few states in the union that is actually prosperous. The states that have the highest state income tax are the ones that are the most bankrupt, and the ones with no income tax are the ones that are the most prosperous, which tells you a lot about how free enterprise works. And if you wanted to fix the U.S. economy rather than taxing people more, which is what Obama wants to do, you tax them less, and you will have economic recovery. But in the state of Texas, there are two things that are common to the vast preponderance of the residents. One is that an overwhelming percentage of them are Baptist, and the other is that football is a religion, which is the opening quote of the HLN article. It says, "Football is a religion," or so goes the increasingly overheard statement about our national obsession with the sport. And while tangible verification of this belief can be a bit challenging to come by, a sparkling $60 million temple of sorts offers some very compelling evidence of its accuracy. You know, people ought to be able to spend their money any way they want to. But when you're spending $60 million for a high school football stadium, I'm just going to suggest this, that your priorities may be a bit misaligned.
As far as football goes, high school football is not a very fun product to watch. I mean, people are still clumsy. They're still trying to figure out how to play the game.
Well, not if you're a Texan. If you're a Texan, it's, you know, there was a culture, Scott, that built enormous edifices to watch fairly violent games. It was Rome, and in their Colosseum, they had some of the most violent games one can imagine. And the Colosseum became a source of the Roman religion, of their bloodlust, of the kind of the nature of the culture itself. And I'm not suggesting that football is at the same level as the gladiators and other and feeding Christians to lions. In Rome, it most certainly isn't. But it is a reasonably violent sport. Lots of concussion issues. The big issue with high school football, of course, is that the number of young men who are permanently scarred from the experience. I played high school football. Unfortunately, I wasn't good enough at it to make a living at it, or to go on and play in college, or to have my college tuition offset by my football prowess, because I just wasn't that good at it. But so many of my friends permanently injured because of high school football. It isn't the kind of thing that we should be turning into a temple. This particular article goes on to say, this particular shrine is a high school football stadium in, of course, well, Scott's already blown the punchline here, but it is in Texas. The good voters, tongue-in-cheek journalist, I do like sarcasm, he puts in parentheses, worshipers, as opposed to good voters, and Allen approved a $119 million bond package 3 years ago, which included funds for the stadium, fine arts auditorium, and school transportation. Washington, among other things. You know, the reason the other things were attached onto the bond for the football stadium is they would have felt maybe a, I'm not sure this is appropriate if it was strictly for the football stadium, but oh, fine arts, that ought to be fine. No one will know that we're spending $60 million for the football stadium.
You can get a lot of supplies for $1 million.
For your fine arts auditorium?
Colored fans, you know.
You know, I was brought this to my attention. My son's girlfriend is a school teacher. Her first job was in a public school district in North Carolina. And it was in a disadvantaged area. She's fairly altruistic in that nature. And you speak of supplies and what money will buy in terms of supplies. She is was either kindergarten or first grade at the time. And so here's a public school in North Carolina, just outside of Duke in the Raleigh-Durham area. She shows up the first day and said, okay, what's the budget for supplies? So I can get the kids paper, pencils, crayons, school books, you know, for the alphabet and writing and that sort of thing. And the principal of the school said, zero. You have no supplies. If you want the children to do something in your class, you will have to buy them yourself. She went out and spent a little less than $1 million. I think it was a couple of thousand dollars, but she bought the supplies for the children in her public school class. But in Texas, I don't need to worry about that. They'll give you a $60 million kick the other teams behind football stadium. So what does all this cash get you? Well, physically speaking, it buys an 18,000 seats in a modern two-tiered horseshoe design and a high-definition scoreboard, a weight room, a press box that would resemble the best that you would find inside college stadiums and an indoor practice facility.
Just a quick thing here. So are they allowing, like, recruiting in high school now? Because otherwise there's absolutely no point to have a stadium like that.
There are... I follow sports because it's kind of the way there's lots of ways that you can remove yourself from all of the aches and pains of the world. One of them is through sports, and it seems to be my favorite. There are lots of restrictions on that, but there's always ways around the restrictions. We'll continue our story about the temple to high school sports after the break, and then I have a very sad story about something that happened in Russia regarding Islam. This is Shattering Myths. Well, welcome back to the Twilight Zone. This is actually Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yatta. I'm calling it the Twilight Zone because, you know, while I'm, Scott and I were talking over the break, we're both sports fans. Both happen to really like football, both the fans of the NFL and of the college game. See nothing wrong with playing sports. Matter of fact, I played sports all the way through school. Love sports. But there's something terribly, tragically misguided when you're spending $60 million for a high school football stadium. And another aspect of all this, too, is that it reminds me of the of what I call economic pedophilia, of our national debt, where adults indulge themselves and pass the bill on to their children. This football stadium wasn't paid for with cash. It was paid for with bonds that the future generation will be straddled with that debt. It's completely inappropriate. You know, the rules on personal finance and government finance ought to be the same, which is that if you have your house paid off, if you don't owe any more debt, and say the United States, our national debt, rather than being $15 trillion and change, was zero. And if we had a $1 trillion reserve, we could go off and spend $1 trillion on something. That'd be okay. Same thing true with a family. If your home is paid off, you'd have no debt, and you see a toy out there, you'd really like to have that toy, then go off and buy it if you can do it for cash. Good for the economy. But when you're doing things like this on debt, and your priorities are this out of whack, it says that you've lost the ability to be judgmental. The friend that sent me this the article on this football stadium is a Texan. He wrote me again this morning, must be listening to the program, knowing that I'm talking about it. He said that his district, and he's, by the way, an official, actually works in the school district. His district has a population of 9,689,000. So he's in a school district, actually worked for the school district, that has a population of 9,689 individuals. Guess how much they paid for their football stadium?
9,680
something. Nope, 17 million. 17 million. They paid 17 million in a district under 10,000. And then Allen, the population of Allen is 87,463, and they paid 60 million for their stadium. It's not an isolated problem. It is just unbelievably out of kilter with what is reality.
I'm in the wrong business. I got to go start building high school stadiums.
You and me both. What are we doing hosting a radio show? We ought to be selling Texas communities on gold-plated football stadiums. Well, there are intangible benefits, we're told, for this, so we're being overly critical, Scott. The intangible benefits, well, this was reported on KTVT in Dallas. The quote was, "It definitely helps us in the process of kicking the tail," offensive tackle Brad North candidly told the Dallas television station. And if you're an opposing player accustomed to playing in front of rickety bleachers, a row of porta potties, behind the end zone with a couple of school bus diesel engines still humming in the background, you're likely to feel a sense of unease when you're entering the Allen Eagles gleaming stadium, which will soon serve to validate North's point. And Allen, everyone is an Eagle, we're told by the high school's superintendent. He said that the fact that everyone in Allen is an Eagle was a factor in designing the stadium. 18,000 seats is an unusual project for a high school, he says, having complete command of reality. But the Allen School District Superintendent Ken Helvey told CNN last year, "But once you've been here, you'll understand. Okay, you'll have to have it if you're going to continue being one high school in this community." He says the facility will generate considerable revenue. That's what we were talking about at the break. You know, a college team generates considerable revenue from football. In fact, men's football, that's the only men's football, but football pays for all of the other athletic endeavors that a school engages in and generates a surplus in most of the Division I schools. Football is a moneymaker for large colleges, just as it is for the NFL. It isn't for high school.
And whatever football doesn't buy, basketball pays for.
Yes, that is absolutely true, which is an issue we can discuss at another time, which is Title IX and its inappropriateness in a country that is supposed to be racially and gender blind. This is Shattering Myths. Call us if you'd like. Our number is 877-300-7645. Hello, and welcome back to Shattering Myths, where we expose the misconceptions associated with religion and politics. Sometimes the religion happens to be football. I had shared at the end of the last segment that we were going to turn our attention to Russia, and a future program will return to Title IX and discuss the differences between men and women and the inappropriateness of saying that we are supposed to be identical, there is no difference between us, and yet we're going to establish legal differences to aid one group over the other. It is crazy making from a government legislation perspective. But that's not going to be our next conversation. I want to turn to a very sad story that probably very few of you are aware of that came out of the world of Islam and Russia yesterday. Four members of a Muslim sect in the Russian region of Tatarstan have been charged with cruelty against children for allegedly keeping them underground. Police discovered 27 children and 38 adults living in catacomb-like cells in an 8-level underground bunker. The sect's elderly leader, Fayez Rahman Satarov, had reportedly wanted to build his own Islamic caliphate beneath the ground. In other words, he's like so many of the wacko Christian sects, where the leader of the sects wants to pretend like he is the Messiah. Well, this guy wanted to pretend like he was head of the realm of Islam, and as most of these guys do, both on the Christian side and on the Islamic side, they pretend to be prophets. You'll get a kick out of how this guy entered the prophethood. Well, the prosecutors have said that the children have lived there for more than a decade. The sect was uncovered last week in a suburb of the city of Kazan during an investigation into recent attacks on Muslim clerics in Tatarstan, a mainly Muslim region on the River Volga. Mr. Satarov, who declared himself to be a Muslim prophet, has been charged with a crime of arbitrariness. Yes, arbitrariness is the crime he was charged with. It's a broad crime that covers actions contrary to the order presented by law. Now, it's interesting here because Muhammad made the claim that he was the last of the prophets. Now, he was also the first of the Islamic prophets, although in a future program we'll discuss this at length. The Quran claims that Adam and Noah and Moses and David and Abraham were Islamic prophets. They also say that Alexander the Great was a Muslim prophet. The Quran is historically is absolutely gibberish. But nonetheless, they claim that all of those guys, even Esau, who they claim is Jesus, although Esau is the Arabic transliteration for Esau, which is the one person that Yahweh calls out by name to say, I hate him. They also claim that Esau is a Islamic prophet. Historically, the claim is impossible. We have overwhelming evidence that makes it absolutely impossible. The fact that the Quran claims that which is historically impossible proves that Islam is false, and therefore any compassionate person ought to expose and condemn the religion. Anyway, Muhammad claimed to be the last of these prophets. So if you're a Muslim and you claim to be a prophet, you cannot be an Islamic prophet because, according to Islam, Muhammad was the last of the prophets. Now, there's also a problem with that, too, which, although Muhammad was claimed to be a prophet by himself and by Islam, guess how many prophecies Muhammad got right? Zero. Not one. In fact, my book takes the Quran and puts it into chronological order and then puts it in the context of Muhammad's life using the hadith, which are all reports from Muhammad and his companions, is named Prophet of Doom because Muhammad's most oft-repeated prophecy was the Day of Doom or the Day of Judgment, which he said would occur 500 years after his life and death. He died in the 7th century, which means that he missed it by a long and wide margin. Therefore, he became the Prophet of Doom because Islam has doomed everything that it has come in contact with. So here's an idiot that says that I am a Muslim prophet, knowing full well that you can't be a Muslim and call yourself a prophet. 19 underage children were removed from the Russian authorities, some of them placed in care, others in hospitals. The officials said that the children aged 1 and to 17 years had never left the compound. Imagine being a 17-year-old child and never seeing the sun, never being allowed out of the catacombs. They had never gone to school. They had never been treated by a doctor. They had never seen the light of day. According to the Russian website Islam News, Mr. Satarov, 83, declared himself to be an Islamic prophet in the mid-1960s after interpreting. Now, this is the qualifications for being an Islamic prophet. After interpreting sparks from a trolley bus cable as a divine light from God. I know that sounds like it's whacked out to the max. You wouldn't believe the number of emails, you know, because I've received tens of thousands of emails because of the books that I've posted online, the number of stupid things that people will use as justification. It was God speaking to me. You know, Paul on the road to Damascus sees a black flashing light in the sky, and all of a sudden it's for him Jesus. I mean, it is absurd what people claim. Well, this guy was a trolley bus cable spark divine light interpreter. He and his followers, you know, that's like following Joseph Smith. It is like following L. Ron Hubbard. That's the degree of stupidity here that has to be ascribed to these people. It's like following Muhammad. I mean, if you read Muhammad's first experience with his demonic spirit, the demonic spirit beat him to a pulp, very much like Paul's experience with the demonic spirit he met on the way on the road to Damascus, beat him to a pulp, and then proclaimed that something utterly stupid to him. In the case of Paul, it was it's difficult to kick against the goad, which is Dionysus's most famous line, and Muhammad's case, the spirits told an illiterate man to read. So, it just shows you the lack of thought, the lack of being rational that permeates the mindset of religious individuals. Well, he and his followers decided that they would shun the outside world. The sect dubbed Faris Rachmanis, after their founder, reportedly did not recognize the Russian state laws or the authority of mainstream leaders in Tartistan. Only a few sect members were allowed to leave the community to work as traders at a local market. The cramped cells descended on 8 levels under a decrepit 3-story brick house. And the Muslim leaders said that Mr. Sotaroff's views contradicted their own. Yes, they follow a man who, by his own admission, was demon-possessed, who was a rapist, a pedophile, who was incestuous. This, we're speaking now of Muhammad, who was a slave trader, who was a kidnapper, who admitted that he lied. And they get their spiritual advice from him, but no, the guy that interprets the sparks from trolley cars contradicts their own views. This is the quote from the imams in Tartistan. Islam postulates that there can be no other prophets after Muhammad. They said, in quote, not recognizing that Muhammad was not a prophet. To be a prophet, guess what one has to do? Predict the future. Kartazan-based theologian Reyes Suleymanov told Russian news in the website in Gazeta Russia, the teachings of Sotaroff, this is another quote, who declared himself a prophet, have been rejected by traditional Muslims, who, as I say, have chosen to view a man who never issued a prophecy correct, Muhammad, who was a rapist, who was incestuous, who was a pedophile, who was a sexist, who was an avowed liar, who was a terrorist, who was a mass murderer, was a slave trader and a kidnapper. They have chosen to view him as God's chosen implement to reveal his nature. Can you imagine God being so desperate that he would pick the most repulsive man on earth to reveal his final testimony? Well, as I have tried to share on this program many times, the problem is religion. It doesn't matter which religion. It doesn't matter if you're Jim Jones in the jungles of Guyana, or if your group is outside the suburbs of Waco, Texas. It doesn't matter. The moment you get yourself involved in religion, even, of course, the grandest of religion, the cults known as Roman Catholicism, you have sacrificed your own soul and those of your children. Ignorance of these things is not an excuse. As a matter of fact, in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms, in the book of Hosea, the 4th chapter, Yahweh says that ignorance is what caused his people to be destroyed. He said the lack of knowledge, ignorance, has caused your destruction. And because you have forgotten my Torah, I will forget your children. That could be said of 99.999% of people living today. They have no interest in knowing the truth and would instead prefer to be beguiled by the likes of the Satyrovs of the world. Moving on to our next story, and before I do it, one last thought. The thing about this story, Scott, is that I don't care that an adult chooses to squander their life this way. That's their choice. But when you do it to the children, it bothers me a great deal.
Well, they have no say in the matter. They do what they're told, usually. I mean, they're kids.
That is correct. That's why in that passage in Hosea, where Yahweh says that my people are destroyed because of their ignorance, because of their lack of knowing. And then he goes on to say, because you have forgotten my Torah, I will forget your children. What he is saying there is the same thing he says when he inscribed the second of the Ten Instructions on stone, where it talks about fathers corrupting his testimony, and therefore it's going to be counted against the children to the third and fourth generation. When we as parents lead our children astray, when we as parents involve our children in religion, when we do that to them, we are committing spiritual murder. We're killing our own children. We ought not do that. There's nothing that we should refrain from, detest more than that, and that is parents corrupting their children, just as these Muslim parents did in Russia. This is Shattering Myths. We'll be back after the break. Good morning and welcome back to the final segment of the first hour of Shattering Myths. I had another story lined up, but I think I'm going to linger here a bit longer, because while you all may be laughing at the foolishness of these adults to believe Mr. Trolley Car Spark Interpreter and how stupid that would be, I want to share some other founders of religious claims that millions, if not billions, of people follow today, and just to show you how stupid their claims are as well. Roman Catholicism is based upon Constantine. Now, the Roman Catholics will tell you, no, it's based upon Jesus. No. Yosha said is contrary, diametrically opposed to what Roman Catholicism teaches. Roman Catholicism is based on the Babylonian religion, not on Yahusha. They have nothing in common. The Roman Catholic Church wasn't built on Peter, too, and there was no man named Peter. His name was Shimon. He was given the nickname Kethesh, which is Aramaic for stone. The Roman Catholic Church was absolutely and irrefutably founded by Constantine. So if you're a Roman Catholic, understand your church was founded by General Constantine. And he was facing a battle. He was fighting a civil war against his own country. He was a traitor. And he decided that he would try to turn the very people that Rome was fighting against into his allies by incorporating them onto his side. And so what he imagined and what he told people that he saw, and I don't think for a second that he saw it, but he said that he saw a blazing cross superimposed against the sun. Now, mind you, his god was the sun. It was Mithras, was the god of the Roman legions. His god was the sun. The cross is a pagan symbol. There is no cross associated with Yahweh. There is no cross associated even with the Christian New Testament. You will not find cross or anything related to cross written in the Greek testimony. So he saw this pagan symbol superimposed on his god, and then he heard the voice, under this sign you will conquer. There is no such thing as conquest associated with Yahweh or Yahusha. And so the Roman Catholic Church was based upon a guy whose sign was and prophetic inspiration was no different than the guy interpreting the sparks from a trolley car, and yet there are over a billion beguiled Roman Catholics. if you are a Protestant Christian and you view that Paul is inspired, and by the way, if you are a Protestant Christian, then I need to tell you that Paul is the founder of your religion. You do not follow Yahusha. Everything Yahusha said, you ignore. If you were to bring up something Yahusha said in one of your Bible studies, you would be asked to leave it. And your Bible studies study Paul's letters, not Yahusha's testimony. So in Christianity, where Paul is the founder of the Christian religion, anybody with an open mind recognizes that is the case. Paul saw sparks flashing in the sky and heard a voice saying that you should not try to kick against the goad. Yahusha, in his Olivet Discourse, when he's speaking to his disciples, warned them that that false prophets would come along, that there would be those who would claim to have seen him. And he said, if anyone claims to have seen me before the entire world sees me return, and the entire world sees me collectively as brilliant as a star, until everyone sees me, and if any individual claims that they have seen me in the meantime, do not believe them. They're lying. And yet this is exactly what Paul claimed, and yet Christians believe him. If you're one of the 1.5 billion Muslims in the world, Muhammad, who is your lone prophet, was the most repulsive man who ever lived. He was a rapist. He was incestuous. He was a pedophile. He was a slave trader. He was a kidnapper. He was a terrorist. He led 75 terrorist raids. He was a mass murderer. His Quran is absolute rubbish. It's a jumbled book that isn't even right historically, much less prophetically. It's a joke scientifically. It has Alexander the Great going and visiting extraterrestrials where the sun goes to bed at night in a muddy spring. Come on, folks. Wake up. Start questioning your religion. Free yourselves from it. And don't doom your children to it. This is Shattering Myths.